Does anyone remember a game show on TV in, I think it was the early 2000s, called Burjo's Catchphrase? Remember that? As a teenage boy, I do remember coming home from school and watching that and trying to work it out. But essentially, the main part of the show was that gradually a picture would be revealed. It was covered by, I think, 9 squares, and gradually, sort of a reverse of a jigsaw puzzle, one will come off, and you'd have to try and work out what was underneath. And the picture would usually be a common phrase or sometimes like a famous person or something like that. But out of the 9 tiles that were covering the picture, sometimes only a few would need to be uncovered before the contestants would realise what the phrase was underneath. It's a little bit like the jigsaw puzzle the children did, although they obviously knew it was Bluey from ABC TV. But sometimes you would see just enough of what was underneath one or two of these tiles to work out what the catchphrase was. And of course, like all good game shows, the first in with the buzzer was the winner. And so that was the aim of that show. Now, some of these were right in the bad dad joke category. And so maybe earlier in life, I really enjoyed dad jokes, and I definitely utilise them today. So these things weren't exactly like brain teasers. For example, one had a boy with the name tag Jack, and he was talking to a bowl of beans. Jack and the Beans talk. Jack and the Beans talk. Yeah, that's it, yep. Didn't have to be Archimedes to work these out. Now, another one had a lady pointing to a lounge, and she was saying, "This is mine." And her name on the screen was Mrs. D. Parcher. Departure Lounge. Yes, there you go. Anyway, I won't go on. You can look it up on YouTube if you're very interested. But usually you didn't need to see the whole picture to know the answer. With those ones, you would probably just see maybe the beans and maybe realise his name's Jack and he's pointing and talking. And with Mrs. D. Parcher, you probably could just see her name. And if you could see a lounge, you'd just work it out, even if 2 or 3 of these tiles had been uncovered. Now, certain squares would be uncovered, and enough of a clue would be there to work out the answer. And the contestant would sort of have an epiphany. Enough would be revealed for them to realise. And a couple of weeks ago on Christmas Day, we looked at the angels who sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." And this was when the shepherds were told to go and find the baby Jesus laying in the manger. And that's a first group that we read in the Bible who travel to see this newborn baby king. And the second group who travel to see this newborn baby king are the Magi. And there are quite a lot of differences between the shepherds and the Magi. In fact, you could almost say that they are two opposite ends of the spectrum. And because through different means, God has drawn these very different groups of people to come and worship Jesus, it means that everyone in between is also invited to come and worship the King Jesus. Because each one of us is somewhere in between the lowly shepherds and the wealthy Magi. Now, the shepherds are Jewish, the Magi are not Jewish, they are Gentiles. The shepherds have the below minimum wage job of looking after sheep. The Magi are wealthy astrologers reporting to kings. And to go and see the baby Jesus, the shepherds travel a short walking distance, possibly just 30 minutes. But the Magi travel many kilometres. They probably travel for months following the star. And the shepherds go searching with just the clothes on their back. But the Magi bring expensive gifts. Gold fit for a king. Frankincense, a gift for a deity. And myrrh, a burial spice. And these gifts bear witness to the Christ child. Gold for the King of Kings. Frankincense for the God of Gods. And myrrh for Emmanuel, who will join us in death, so that we might join him in resurrection. For the Magi combined what they knew about Israelite religion with what they knew from their everyday lives. They pored through the ancient texts and scanned the skies. They had plodded through deserts and made their way over mountains. They had knocked on doors and tiptoed into temples. They were genuinely seeking to find the King of the Jews, and with God's help, they did. For God is willing to meet those who genuinely seek him. Think of how God met you when you first became a follower of Jesus and were born again. You probably did not know too much of the Bible, although I know for some people that's the way they come to faith. They definitely do know a lot of the Bible. But maybe your motives weren't even completely noble. Maybe your beliefs were very uncertain. And if we're honest, some of this might still be the case at times. But God meets seeking sinners and points them to Jesus. Because the Magi don't appear to know a lot about God or this baby. But from what they did know, the Magi bring their gifts. They bring three gifts. And earlier we sang, "We three kings." And this doesn't echo Matthew, but echoes Isaiah, which we heard right at the start of our service from Maisie. Because the passage that we heard from Yvonne talks of two kings, not three kings. In Matthew, we hear of two kings, Herod the Great, the bloodthirsty ruler of the Jews appointed by Rome. He kept power by attacking and killing his political enemies, and he built impressive architecture in Israel. And the other king is Jesus, a baby, possibly a toddler at this stage, although we won't go into debates right now. And Jesus is the rightful heir to this throne. There are two kings, Herod and Jesus. And the Magi, who are prominent and wealthy men from the east, travel far and wide, not to sit at the feet of the one who sat on a throne in Jerusalem, but to bow before a baby in a house in Bethlehem. The star from heaven didn't point to Herod, but to Jesus. And because this star is revealed to Gentiles, we see that God's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, is not just for the insiders, but for the outsiders. The wealthy bow before the poor. And this is the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God. God comes down to us. He lives among the poor. He identifies with us. Whether we are lowly like shepherds or highly educated and wealthy like the Magi. Whichever way we are on that spectrum, Jesus invites us to come to him, to bow down and to worship him, to follow him every day. And whatever we might be facing today in our worlds or in our lives, the answer is Jesus. Because the same questions that we read in our biblical passages today are asked of us. Which king do we serve and bow down to and worship? God brings along signs that point to Jesus, but are we awake to them? Do we have eyes open to learn? Do we respond to God's invitation of love? Because God has come down to us in Jesus, born as a baby, as King of the Jews, and the one who provides the hope of salvation for the whole world. God's signs may no longer be in the form of a star to mark Jesus' birthplace, but the Holy Spirit continues to reveal God's promises and purposes in this world. For those curious enough to investigate the everyday presence of God here on earth. And like Burjo's catchphrase, and a bit like our jigsaw as well, the Magi don't see the whole picture. But enough is revealed to them that they travel a very long distance to see Jesus. And the same can happen to us today. We don't often see the whole picture, sometimes not even half of it. We don't fully understand. But through Jesus, we do have the full revelation of who God is. And in Jesus Christ, God has given us the greatest gift. For the Magi gave lavish gifts. And this is because it is in response, even though they didn't quite realize it at the time, possibly. But these gifts were in response to God, who had given his greatest gift, his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are also today called to respond to God's gracious gift of Jesus by giving our lives to following Jesus, the Savior of the world. We've had four table discussions this morning, and thank you for sharing some of those responses. Because the best gift, and I know all those answers were true, so I'm not trying to be too religious here, but the best gift each of us has ever received is Jesus Christ and the new life that he brings. And the best, or possibly the only gift that we could give in response, is ourselves and our worship. We may travel a long way physically or mentally or spiritually, looking for answers in life. But the good news in our searching is that Jesus has traveled the furthest in more ways than one. He has traveled to show us who God is and who we are, and to save us from sin and death. And the epiphany that is revealed to us as we remember the Magi bringing gifts to Jesus is that Jesus is for everyone, Jew and Gentile. At the end of the passage, Matthew tells us that the Magi return home by another way. And this is mostly, or maybe even partly, because of the warning of Herod. They are told to go by another way. But it also has a deeper meaning. Because after encountering Jesus Christ, even as a toddler, God with us, they return never the same again. They are told to go home by a different route, but also spiritually, they are returning home never the same again. And after leaving here this morning, maybe you will return by another way, never the same again. Because after responding to the invitation to come and worship Jesus, whether for the first time or the thousandth time, we don't return the same. Because in Jesus Christ, we see the one true living God, the God who is the Almighty, who chooses absolute vulnerability. God is a divine sovereign who accepts human limitation. God is the ultimate transcendence who joins in human suffering. God is the rightful monarch who becomes a displaced refugee. God is the infinite who empties himself. God is the God who becomes human. God is the God who becomes common. God is the God who becomes poor. God is the God who lives among us and in Jesus Christ bears the sins of the world on that cross so that we might have forgiveness, redemption, and new life. This day and every day, may we have this epiphany, this constant reminder of this revealing, that our God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. Our final song this morning gives us the opportunity to respond just like the Magi did, although they wouldn't have sung this particular song. But they came, and we are invited to worship the one who is the light of the world, the light of the world who stepped down into darkness. And through Jesus, our eyes are opened. And the world has this epiphany, this revealing, that Jesus is the Saviour of the world, not just a select group, but the whole world. And we join with the Magi and billions of others since who have encountered Jesus as the Son of the one true living God, the true King, the true Messiah. So may we also be overjoyed, just like the Magi, as we sing, "Here I am to worship," and give the gift of ourselves and our praises and worship.